with you in this word, but I'm looking at the wrong person. I need to be looking at myself. The enemies of the cross. And I just tell you that all the enemies of the cross are not at home today. All of them are not at work today. All of them are not on the golf course. All of them are not shopping. Some of them, help me, Holy Ghost, are in the church. Enemies of the cross. Just because you are religious, it does not mean that you are not an enemy of the cross. While when we read this, we cannot be sure. Verses 18 and 19 was not written to the church. Most of the Bible, or all of the Bible, say was written to the church. This is a letter to the church at Philippi. There was a group of people called Judaizers. Those were the Jews that believed in the Jewish tradition. And their followers. We're almost sure that Paul was writing this to Christian folks. And in your Christian walk, you will find some areas in your Christian walk where you could be classified as an enemy of the cross. That's why the cross had to be born by Christ. So sinners like you and me could come to the cross and Christ would find room in his heart to forgive us. What we're talking about, brothers and sisters, are the enemies of the cross. What they did was add the law of Moses to the cross. They wanted to see the laws of Moses add work on the redemption that Christ wrought on the cross. But there was no way that that could work. They was obedient to the dietary laws of the Old Testament. And they made a god out of their bellies. And if you can and if you will, try to think on this, not on the physical belly, but on a spiritual belly. Their emphasis was on circumcision and the amount of glory which that brought to the Jewish nation. And for that, they should have been ashamed of. These men were not spiritual minded. They were earthly minded. And don't look too hard at them. For you need to be looking at yourself. They were holding on to their earthly rituals. And the belief that God had given to Israel. And to the nation of Israel. And they were opposed to heavenly blessings that the Christian has in Christ. And I'll say it again, don't look too hard at them, for we are selfish sometimes. God bless me, mine, and mine. And forget about them other folks. Just bless me, the enemies of the cross. Read them. In This passage of scripture is a passage of scripture that theologians says when they see this parenthesis here in the Bible, they said and they want you they seem like they want you to take the opinion that it's something that they went back and put in as an afterthought. For when you find a parenthesis in the Bible, if you would just hold your finger right there and skip down to where the parenthesis end, it'll pick right up and be right intact. You know, just like when we used to write letters, we'd say something and we'd write, ha-ha. When the other person read it, they would know that that was something that was just between you and them, and you would get a laugh out of it. That's what this is. This is called a parenthesis in the Bible. And this caught my eye because it's talking about people that are enemies of the cross. And I'm not stuck on it, but we do have them in the church today. One thing the enemies of the cross do is that they defy the Lord. When you defy something, you are downright staunch against it. They were enemies of the cross, and they were not friends of the cross. Just think about yourself here right now. There's a difference between the people that you call your enemy and the people that you call your friend. Sometimes we find out later in life there's not a nickel worth of difference between the two. Because your enemy today can be your friend tomorrow. Your enemy, your friend today could very easily be your enemy before the day is over. So it's not a whole lot of difference between them. But they were enemies of the cross, meaning that they were against what Jesus was teaching. They opposed every demand of the cross on their lives. Brothers and sisters, do you know that the cross makes demands on your life today? If you are not an enemy of the cross makes demands on your life. I'm glad you asked. Baggett, what kind of demands does it make on my life today? It says that if you're going to take up my cross and follow me, you have to bear, you have to take some stuff. You have to be persecuted if you're going to take up this cross. If you are not an enemy of the cross, you just need, it has demands on you. Meaning that there are certain things you just got to do. Why I got to do them? That nobody's going to kill me if I don't do them, but I just got to do them. Because there's something on the inside of me that will not let me rest if I don't do this. The cross makes demands on the people that take up the cross. They oppose the message of the cross. They will not lend an ear to actually hear what the cross is saying. Well, Baggett, why do they oppose and they don't hear the cross? Because there are some of us that are not, that everybody knows that we are enemies of the cross. We are watching you and you don't act like, you don't live like, you are a friend of the cross. I know you may put on a good show. You may show up Sunday morning at 8:30 for Sunday school at 9:30. Just may do that. But you may have just stopped slapping on your husband or beating him up or doing something that you should not be doing. We're talking about opposing the message of the cross. The message of the cross is that you will be submissive in all that you do. Don't you, brother, sit there and laugh? Some of y'all probably got slapped last night. You just don't want to tell it. I just stopped by to let you know that God will, if you're bearing this cross, if you're not an enemy of the cross, if you're not, you will suffer sometime. You'll have to go through some stuff. You will hear it. You'll go through some stuff in your heart. It might not look like you're going through anything, but you are a friend of the cross, and you can go through it. They oppose the preaching of the cross. with the full force of their carnal nature. Some people oppose the preaching of the cross because they don't like to hear talking about persecution and blood. You hear them talk every now and then about they taking all the songs out of hymn books that have blood, the reference of blood in it. But I stop by to tell you, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. See, sometimes blood have got to come. That's why every now and then when you get to going through something, you don't know why you got to keep going through. I'm doing just like I'm supposed to do. I'm reading your word and I'm living by your word, but yet I'm still suffering. You just got to, because you have taken the cross and you have made a decision that you are not an enemy of the cross. The people that are enemies of the cross don't like the preaching of the cross. They don't like to hear about how they must be persecuted. And you don't do things to make people persecute you, but you just take it if it comes your way, because you know that Jesus went through all of what he went through, and he went through it for me. Thank you, Lord. They call the call of the cross have no appeal to them. See, some people don't see any attractiveness in the cross. They just see persecution. But when I see the cross, I see salvation. When I look at the cross, I see a saved wretch just like me. I see peace and happiness. I don't know why, but when I see the cross, I thank and my soul gets happy. I might not move, but when I see the cross, there's peace way down deep in my soul. When I see the cross, I see the appeal that the cross have. I feel the cross drawing me to him, because I just believe that when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I see him, y'all, drawing me. Might not draw anybody else, but the appeal of the cross, it is there, and I thank him for that. Listen, those people were bitter enemies of the cross, and they battled against the cross. Well, why do you think they are enemies? They feel as if they will be less than what they see themselves as. But I stop by to tell them they're sin and wrong. Jesus won't make you any less. He'll always make you more. Might not seem like it, but I dare you to just trust in him and believe in the cross. The cross will get you where you need to be. You might not believe it, but I tell you what you do. Try him. He will not leave you, not forsake you. The cross would convict them and consign them to hell. When they look at the cross, they see themselves as not doing what thus saith the Lord. When you look at the cross, you need to see Jesus. Don't see yourself, because you are wicked, you are a sinner, you are a wretch that's undone. But if you look at the cross and you see Jesus, everything will be all right. I stop by to tell you, don't defy the Lord. Don't be an enemy of the cross. You got to stand against whatever comes against you. If you stand in the shadow of the cross will come on you and he will cover you. You have to stand at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm not your enemy. I might look like it. I might seem like it, but just give me just a little more time. I'll get it right. When God bless you, you got to give him his honor. You can't remain an enemy of the cross. All you got to do is try to inhale the breath when God decides to take it away from you. You can't do it, because it's his and he loaned it to you. Listen to me, please, ma'am, and please, sir. In the church,
We have got to stop being an enemy of the cross. In the church, we are enemies of the cross because we don't want people to know that we are believers. We camouflage ourselves. You got to look at that joker straight in his eyes and tell him, even with blood running down your face, you got to tell him that I'm a child of God. And on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You got to know yourself. Nobody else have to know, but you got to know yourself that you are not an enemy of the cross. You got to know that no matter what happens to me in this world, it's not my home. I'm a stranger traveling through. I'm on my way somewhere. Church folks don't believe that they're going somewhere. I didn't come here to stay. I'm just passing through. And in my passing through, I hope I leave a message that you cannot be an enemy of the cross. You have to be a friend of the cross. We have to display that in our lives. Listen. They defied the Lord. They stood against what he was teaching. And you have to give them credit for one thing. They believed in what they believed in. They don't do like, some of us, when it's convenient, I'll be a Christian. When I'm in hostile territory, I'll be like they are. No. You got to take your lumps. You got to take your lumps. You got to take those licks upside the head that knock you down. Because think about what he took for you on Calvary. Just think about it. Point number two. Their God is their belly. Those people that are enemies of the cross, their God is their belly. Their desires are for the physical pleasures of this world. We have a tendency, y'all, to when we come this way, we are looking for all the pleasures and everything to be in our favor. We are looking for everybody in the church to agree with me. We are looking for everybody in the church to love me. That's your belly. That's your God. When we look for those kind of things in the church, then we are an enemy of the cross. I've said this before. I felt like when I sure enough committed my life to God, everybody was supposed to love me, especially church folks. Everything I did or said was supposed to be, should have been okay to me, because that's how I saw the church agreeing with everything. But then I had a baggage slant on that too. A lot of the things that we want people to agree with, they're not tried by the word. if you try by the word and they disagree with it, you can still stand on the word. But if it's just what I think, what I want, then I need to kick it to the curb. I need to get by what I'm thinking like what they are thinking about. It's not worth the time. It's not what God would have you to do. Most of the people that the gods of their bellies, they center their lives around possessions and property. I own this. I own that. My granddaddy did this. My granddaddy did that in that same church. And we feel like it ought to be, do me some good, and it ought to have some clout for me. They center their lives around houses and furnishing of them. They center their lives around foods and appetites, comforts and plenty, money and wealth. They believe that these kind of things ought to get them someplace with God. That's your belly, y'all. Doesn't matter how much you put in the church offering, it won't get you into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. But if you stand on the word of God, God will open the doors for you when you're standing on his word. I know that because he did it for me. I didn't have a whole lot of stuff. Didn't have a whole lot of credentials. But God made a way out of no way. And brothers and sisters, can I just tell you this? When you start walking with God, don't expect to have a whole lot of people walking with you. They may be walking, but they're not walking with you. They're walking to see you fall. But if you're walking with God, no matter how many people are around, how many people are not around, if you're walking with God, every step you make will be ordered in the Lord. Sometimes you'll want to go one way, but God will say no. He'll say go another way. You might want to call somebody that knows somebody, but God will have you to call a nobody, and the nobody will do what thus saith the Lord, and it will work out better. Stop trying to figure out God and just say, God, here I stand, where you lead, I will follow. And don't allow your belly to get you into trouble. Don't allow your belly to make you do and say things that'll be popular with the people. The people might not just know God. They might just be an acquaintance with God. There are a lot of church folks that don't know God. They just acquainted with him. They just know when they hear something about him. They don't know God up close and personal. They don't know God in an intimate way. They're not in love with God. When your belly is your God, you don't know God because you haven't been to a place in your life, as the old folks used to say, your belly is eating your backbone. They haven't been there. They haven't been in a place where they didn't know where they were going to go, didn't know where they were going to sleep, didn't know where the next meal was going to come from, didn't know where the next blessing was going to come from. But you kept walking with your eyes on Christ. If you keep your eyes on the cross, then everything will be all right. Sometimes the reason our belly is our God, we have a carnal mind. We don't have the mind. Somewhere they said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Can I just tell you what the mind of Christ was? The mind of Christ was, God, my Father, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Whatever he did it to the glory of God. That's the mind that need to get in us. If we have a carnal mind, just think of what the world can do for me and for what I can do for the world. What am I going to get out of this? You don't need to worry about that. You need to put it all in the hands of God. And if it gets by God and it gets to me, everything is going to be all right. God, I might not understand it, but you said you would be my forbearer. You would go in front of me. You wouldn't come behind me. You'd walk. And if I put my footstep in your footstep, everything would be all right. I thank you, Lord, for leading me the way that you're leading me. First, a calm mind is a mind that's finest basis in the world. The world doesn't have anything for you. The world can't give you anything. Anything that the world gives you, it comes from God, because the world didn't make anything. Well, when the world give it to you, it would be infected. It would be contaminated, because the world, everything in the world is contaminated. But if God bring it your way, all the contaminants have been removed out of it. I know God's all right, y'all, because he done blessed me, and he'll bless me again. You can't let your belly be your God. And I don't mean a capital G. I mean a lowercase G, a small God. My God is a big God. I don't know how big he is, because I've not been able to see the end of him. He's a big God, and we don't need to be a curl. Our bellies are God. And then God will give you an unlimited appetite. Listen, you could have in the world your belly, your God. You have an unlimited appetite. You don't never get enough. They asked Rockefeller, say, how much money do you need? He said, a dollar more than I already got. No matter how much I have, I just need a dollar more. The appetite of the world is the same way. What you need, I just need another or whatever I got. But when God bless you, it's fulfilling. I understand, y'all, about why water will satisfy your thirst and a Pepsi won't. A Pepsi leave me always wanting another Pepsi. But if I drink a cold glass of water, my appetite is full. My thirst is gone. Well, you said, Baggett, why don't you keep drinking the Pepsi? That's just the man in me. That's the flesh in me. But when I don't want to drink anything else, I drink a cold glass of water. What God provides. See, and when God provides, he will supply. You'll never run out of supply water. But they're going to run out of Pepsis one of these days. So you're going to have to drink water. And those of you that drink coffee and green tea, the same thing applies to you. You've got to come back to what God have for you. Your God can't be your belly. I know I'm talking about physical things, but you got to transfer it to the spiritual things. You cannot take the physical things of this world and supply what God have. It'll be, when you think it'll do the same thing, but it will not. Listen. If you trust in God, God will supply just what you need. Might not seem like it, but he will. And the world will be supplying over here, and you don't know whether to take over here or to take God, and you take over here with the world, and then you soon run out, and then God's still right here. And if you make the transfer and take God, this over here with the world will seem so small. It seems so wonderful when you're standing right there at it. The grass always seems to be greener where you are not. I ride by and I inspect a lot of lawns riding down the road. They all look better than mine, because theirs is not mine. My neighbor told me one day, he said, we have two of the best looking lawns in this area. And I said to myself, I didn't say to him, I just hope those people just keep riding by looking. Hope they don't get out there and get in the middle of it. Because if they get out there and get in the middle of it, they'll see it's not grass. It's weeds. I just keep them cut down. See, that's when our bellies as our God, we try to keep our sin cut down. Somebody gonna get out there and get in the middle of it. And do you know Jesus is standing right in the middle of it? He knows. He knows. He knows those sins that are in your life. So all you got to do is surrender them to him. And I tell y'all what I did to that lawn. I drove to Lowe's, got me some plugs of centipede. I dug me some places, planted those plugs. Guess what those plugs did? They died. I can tell you why they died. Because at first I didn't take care of them. I'm going somewhere with this, and don't y'all fall off. I didn't take care of them. But now this spring, I expect them to come back. You know why? Because I've been taking care of it this winter. I put fertilizer on it. I even fertilized it yesterday before the rain came. Friday before the rain came. I fertilized it. And while I was walking fertilizing, I was thanking God for them growing. What you mean, Baggett? What this got to do with this message? Well, if you take every now and then and come to Sunday school, that's a plug. Come to Bible study, that's a plug. Come to worship service, that's a plug. Come to something, that's a plug. You keep putting those plugs out, and you come back and you water them and you fertilize them. They'll begin to grow. But now, if you don't put out but one plug, just expect that plug to cover about that much of your life. Sometimes you got to put out more than one. You got to put out a whole bunch of them. You got to put out a bunch of, you have to, this is a process that we go through, and you don't ever get finished. You don't have, when you get finished, I said this Wednesday night in Bible study, and Wednesday night, and when you finish, you'll be in a little box stretched out across here. Well, we'll be getting ready to take you, if you're in Crestview, we'll take you to Spring Hill or Milligan or Live Oak or somewhere and deposit you in the ground. That's when you're finished. This belly of ours is our God when we allow the things of the world to become the most prominent thing in our lives. Point number three. Their glory is their shame. If a person stands as an enemy of the cross, he will be destroyed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It doesn't matter who he or she is, who they are, or whether they are within or without the church. It doesn't matter. If you are an enemy of the cross, you will be destroyed. That's a promise. You will suffer the destruction because you are an enemy of the cross. It is the person who rejects the cross of Christ as the only way to God. Some people believe there are different ways of getting to God. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. It is the person who does not accept the death of Christ as a payment for his sin. I can do this without Christ dying for me. Well, you just keep thinking that. There's a payday coming. It is a person who does not believe that Christ died for him and for the punishment of his sin, of his sins and his transgression. It is a person who does not believe that the penalty for his imperfection was borne by Christ on the cross. You have to believe that. You have to know that. You have to live that. It is the person who does not approach God claiming that he is coming in the name of Jesus the Christ and because of the death of Christ on the cross. You have to know that. It is the person who claims that there are other ways of approaching God, ways other than Christ on the cross. Those who consider the cross of Christ to be foolishness. And there's a lot of people now that think this is a foolish way. They crucified him, and it's been so long, he's not coming back because he's not already come back. He is on his way. He's coming back, and we just need to believe that and hold on to it. It's those who persecute and attempt to stamp out Christ. There are people that are trying to stamp out Christ and the cross. They do not believe it themselves, and they do not want anyone else to believe it. We need to make sure that we don't fall into that category. Those who deny and question that Christ died for our sin. Add one point to that. You can question, but question out of your ignorance, not out of your unbelief. The one thing that the devil keeps to put in our mind is doubt. Doubt. He's a firm believer of doubt. That's how he'll get you to not believe that Christ is who he said he is, and to help you to become an enemy of the cross. The resurrection of Christ is the single greatest event in the history of the world. That is the greatest single event, is the resurrection of Christ. It is so foundational to Christianity that no one who denies it can be a true Christian. You have to believe that. You cannot doubt that if you are going to be a true Christian. Without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith, no salvation, no hope. And if there is no redemption of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then no redemption can be accomplished at the cross, and your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Salvation belongs only to those who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and who confess him as Lord and Savior and thereby identify themselves with him. If you believe that, then you are not an enemy of the cross. There are so many enemies of the cross that have embedded themselves within the church that they teach so close to believing the cross. But then if you put any doubt in the teaching of the cross, you are an enemy of the cross. You cannot straddle the fence with God. If you do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, and that he is a soon returning Christ, you are an enemy of the cross. You may be the preacher, you may be the pastor, you may be the deacon, or you just may be a member. If you do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his soon return, you are an enemy of the cross. I don't care how much money you put in the offering. I don't care how many services you do for the church. You are an enemy of the cross. You can sing to the bubs in the building shout. You can preach until the carpet get up and run out. But if you do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of the cross. And my challenge is to you today is to not to be an enemy of the cross. I don't have a story, an illustration. But I want you to, as much as you can, give me the control of your mind for just a few minutes. I know that this is a frame without a picture. And as many people as there are in here, I want you to see this picture as how you would like to see yourself. Not as you are now, as you will be in Christ. that used on that the institution for black college or something had a commercial about a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I want you to change that mind to life. A life is a terrible thing to waste. If you waste your life and you give your life to Satan, I want you to see that picture right here. I want you to look at this and see yourself as you will be if you can think of something that horrible. To the young people, I would say, visualize yourself at 25. Where you would like to be and what you would like to be doing. To those of us that are over 25, visualize yourself at 75. Those of you that are 75, 105. How you see yourself with God. Not with anything or anybody else. Look at this and see how you would like to be. How you see yourself based upon how you are living with God. How do you see yourself? So many of people do not see themselves away from the situations that they are in now. You need to see yourself different than what you are now. You need to see yourself with God. Because if I see myself with God, I will work towards that happening in my life. Most of us want God to do everything. We don't want to do anything. We want to obtain knowledge and stuff just by osmosis. Some of our parents and grandparents that didn't know any better told us things like, when they would give us Easter speeches in the yesterdays, put it under your pillow at night when you go to sleep, and you will know it in the morning. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we put it under our pillow. But what they was telling us, that they were not telling us, if you think about this one before you go to sleep, then when you wake up in the morning, that same thing will be on your mind. And you will study this to make them be telling you the truth. I watch young people now get up for Easter speeches with papers in their hand. You didn't take the paper with you. You studied it before. And you got up and you did your little cursy thing and you said it. If you were a guy, you bowed and you said your Easter speech. But what I'm trying to get you to see here today is that in this blank frame here, I want you to see yourself and see you as succeeding in your life with God. With God. Not without God. And nobody. No. If you ask most of these young people, any of these young people, in what they want to be, won't any of them tell you, I want to be a convict. I want to go to prison and spend 10 years in prison. I want to rob a bank. Most of them are not going to say that. Because that's not what they want. That's not how they see themselves. But they don't work towards anything that's profitable. They won't study. They won't do the homework. You know, you got to do something yourself. If you don't get yourself in position, God cannot save you. It's not that God cannot. You won't allow him to. Then you are an enemy of the cross. And I said it before and I'll say it again. There are a lot of enemies of the cross in the church. Because we're not living the way God would have us to live. I'm through. Invitation. If you don't know God as your Lord and Savior. This is your time. Will you stand?